phela mina ngiyinsizwa yinsizwa.
Well, all right, welcome to it and welcome to it.
Award winner!
Yes, sir! What's going on?
That's the only award we've ever gotten given here, man. It's our award.
Oh, yes, yes.
Wandy, can I get a close up right here? Yeah, born. E.T.
Red Bull, turn
Red
it
Bull,
up.
Turn it up.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I saw it on your Instagram story. What's
shout
it
out,
for?
Shout
tell
out.
Us.
Wait, let's open the show. What's going on?
Hi, tell us about the award. Don't worry about
okay,
the show.
Okay, okay, okay. Welcome
up.
To it.
Yeah.
So the Red Bull's got this worldwide DJ competition.
Yeah.
We've got a worldwide DJ competition. It's basically four teams of two people in a team, DJs, right?
Yeah.
And they battle out against other teams, right? Usually, you know, DJ battles is like one person. Now it's like two people. In a team battling.
Who was
out.
In your team?
Nice dude called McShorty. So it was myself, McShorty, Chaotic, McBreezy.
All you need is Chaotic.
Yeah.
Chaotic is like the Ronaldo of any DJ team.
Yeah,
well, in can we beg and jelly for it on a wide.
And then Miss Cosmo, DJ Tsehu, Courtney Paul. And
was this one team?
Rocks, Paper, Scissors. No. So those were the four teams.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Who was on Chaotic's team?
McBreezy. Hey, boss.
Yer, McBreezy.
Yeah,
so look, I've seen McBreezy and Chaotic play back to back before.
Yes, fire.
But guys, let me tell you something. BH can attest. Chaotic is fire, bro.
No, he's the best.
Were him and McBreezy drunk? Is that how you won?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, so here's the thing is that the competition is about creed pleasing the crowd.
Yeah.
So it's about pleasing the crowd.
Nyabonga, dude.
And if you don't please the crowd, then you lose out. So
you
there's no judges, whatnot. So up it's you, it's two teams against each other.
Yeah.
Ow. Dang impart.
Now I'm serving it like I'm a bitch. I ain't no bitch though.
Never. Yeah. But anyways, yeah man. It was so I won the Joburg leg. And yeah, it was pretty fun. But yeah, you know, championship mentality.
Championship,
you know,
stuff.
Yeah,
well done, Madubela.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is how many awards do you have as a DJ? Because I saw your other post. You were flexing the Hip Hop Awards 2018.
So four of those, I think five. I'm not an awards person, man.
Yeah,
I just let the work do.
And guys,
let
me tell you something about PH. Right, yeah. My first DJ experience of PH was he was playing at St. Eve's.
Yes, in Cape Town. Mm.
And I didn't know who this guy was. And he was playing a hip-hop set. And anyway, we rock up there. I think we were playing After You or something.
Yes.
Right? Me and the twins, remember?
Yes, yeah, Twins on Decks. Yeah,
so
yeah.
I rock up there, whatever, check PH out in the DJ box. And he was playing a hip-hop set. And it was vibing and it was going and the crowd was lit.
Uh-huh.
And then he was looping hip-hop. And then I said to the one twin, I'm like, is this fucking guy looping hip hop? He was
on
you were
CDs.
Looping hip hop,
yes.
Right? But you were looping it freehand, no serato. So he wasn't clicking four beats. He was looping it on the CDJ, mixing in the next track. I think it was a Milli or something. I can't remember.
But it was CDs as well, on CDs.
On CDs, yeah, yes,
CDs,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, and this is before CDJ 3000s.
2010,
bro. Huh? And these were like CDJ 1000s or some shit.
So the technology was nonsense.
I know you were killing it, Mgano.
Thanks,
I was
dog.
Like,
but
I know, the guy is fire.
Yeah. So had fun. Shout out to Red Bull. Shout out to everyone who was there. Another one for the team.
Yeah.
Another one for the team. But yeah, this is the Shady Podcast. My name is Shady and that guy is Podcast with a PH.
Are you going to ask about my weekend?
No, hold on. We're now starting. Then I'm going to get into the show, boss. How? I was trying to get into that. How are you, boss?
I'm well, my friend. How's
things? And how was the weekend?
So, I know the weekend was good. I'm busy with the television project.
Yes.
I can't disclose.
Yes. But
people
working.
Will see it.
We're
so,
working.
Yeah. Back on TV.
Nice.
So, I was shooting the whole weekend. What I forgot about TV is that it's not fucking easy business, bro. Mm. You start in the morning at like 8, my man. And you're not working the whole time. So there's a lot of waiting.
Yes.
There's a lot of changing locations. There's a lot of like retakes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's taking some getting used to. And also what, like, I don't know about the viewers. Like, guys, why didn't you tell me that I need Botox?
Kanjani kuphi mfana?
I've been watching the episodes. Like, what's up with these wrinkles? Does that mean I'm on the Shady Podcast every week with wrinkles?
No, but you're wearing a cap all the time.
Well, people are going to know that I'm not 31. What the fuck, PH? Do you know how many bitches I told that I'm 31?
Ish, yeah. Listen, sorry. You know what else happened this weekend?
Why?
I must say this. Younger Chief. You know Younger Chief?
Yes, I do.
Man, he released such an amazing album on Friday. I didn't go to the listening session on Thursday evening, but on Friday dropped Lord of the Jan. I think it's called Lord. No, not Lord of the Jan. No, it's not Lord of the Jan. Lord Faku.
Okay.
Something of the Jan. Ne?
All right.
I sent
of
him
the Jan.
Jani Puda.
Jan. Okay. Oh, yeah. Cause niggas worldwide.
Yeah. Listen.
Yenzani le champ.
No, man. I really just want to give Younger his flowers right now. How he put together that album from start to finish, amazing. Listen, it's like this like a roller coaster.
Can hear he put effort and work.
Put time, put love into it. The features are amazing. The placement of the beat selection is fire. You know when they say it's like a, I don't want to say it's a perfect album, but it's a great album.
Yes.
Everything about it.
For you to say that, let me just say the game needs that.
Yeah, man.
This is the level that we need in the game. I feel like there's a lot of laziness going on.
Yes. It's not this thing of a song that was made last week and put out. And
this week, because we were high and we thought it sounds cool. Because, I mean, like, even Drake is doing that now.
Hey, I'm fine.
Say hello to mama. Yeah. Go and call your papa. What the fuck is that?
I don't know, but like, yeah, Younger really, really, really put together that album very well, man. And shout out to you. Shout out to Younger Chief. Go out and get it. Lord Faku. I just forgot the subtitle, but amazing. Lord Faku, Life of a Jan. Yeah.
Life of a Jan.
Shout out.
And Ijani.
Chap.
Inzani le Chap.
But yeah, man, exciting episode coming through. I just placed an order of dim sum. California rolls and what else? A hand roll and we've got some sushi coming through later.
Yeah, later on in the show because the sushi king is going to be in the building.
The sushi king!
We got Kenny Kunene on today's show.
We got Kenny Kunene.
But not in his capacity as sushi king, in his capacity as MMC for transport in the city.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're going to try and find out what the fuck is going on in Joburg because the city's falling apart. I follow him on Twitter and I follow his MMC handle as well. And what I've seen is that they're constantly updating. I think something to take out of the Kenny and Gaten book is that they're pulling a Doge, Elon Musk, away. They're working and they're showing us that they're working.
Sure.
So where you have constant updates on X saying, yo, we are here now, we are there now. Yes. And I can attest to it. I told you with Gaten in particular, we were with him at that Dome launch.
Opening, yeah.
Yeah. No, he's last everywhere. Two weeks ago.
He was at Sheldon from Legends.
Barber, yes. Yeah,
he did that marathon this weekend.
Shots.
And you know, Gaten was at the forefront.
But the man left the Dome event, right? Mm. He'd just driven in from out of town. He got to Joburg straight to the Dome event. He just landed, sorry. After the Dome event, straight to the airport, off to Dubai.
Oh, nice.
That is like the workflow, you know? That, as I said, this is just one day. Mm. And if you follow him on X, you see that he's working. Kenny, he'll be at the corner of this and that in Joburg fixing the train. Then he's in Bryanston fixing a stormwater train. Then he's fixing potholes. So I like those constant updates.
Sure.
So we're going to find out from him a little bit later on why the city is still falling apart despite
And we also need to address Amapar at the traffic lights.
Yeah, like
But there, so like lots I said, coming up. Yeah, there's sushi, there's chopsticks, there's soy sauce, there's mayonnaise, and then there's the sushi cake.
Yes, and naked bitches. Where's the comments, my man? What's on the screen.
I'm glad you took the question about the commissioner. You answered it well, much better than I would have been able to.
Oh no, I was a bit. I was worried I should not be angry.
No, you did well.
He's making me angry.
Yes, what can I do?
I said, we're discussing, even here, he comes up with this rubbish. I said, how will it help me on the 19th, even now on the 12th?
Yes.
He did not know that we have made provision for him for 3.5 in the new arrangement.
Yeah.
But that 3.5 now is gone.
Yes, all right. You finally keep. What happened in here?
Very, 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 very concerning. So obviously, first and foremost, I mean, if you don't know where that clip comes from, we're supposed to have a budget speech last week, Wednesday.
Yes, and that is our Minister of Finance.
Yes, Minister of Finance, and I think his team.
The Honorable.
Yes. And I think before anything else, very shocking that there was no budget speech, you know?
Well, it was...
No, delayed.
Postponed.
Delayed, postponed. Yeah. No, the fact that that has happened.
Yeah, unprecedented.
Yeah, dog, you know, you've got all of these dignitaries who have flown down. All of these people, you know, it's basically... It's our parents saying, "Hey, asnama alekhaya," and we need to make a plan. But
it's an admission that they don't know that they need to make a plan. But what's telling about that clip is the clip is an admission that the minister kind of doesn't know what's going on. Because what he's admitting to in that soundbite is he's like,
"No, say, no, no, no." So first, when I saw that clip, I didn't understand. But then when I realized that, he was basically. When it was the SARS commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
So the SARS commissioner, yeah. Him basically suggesting how they can recoup money and no need for us to raise or for government to raise VAT by 2%. And so I think it was very concerning that you've got, and look, I'm by no means any financial
guru.
You know, I'm part of the public, I'm part of the people who vote, you know. But to have a body of that magnitude, basically, you know, feeling challenged, you know. I mean, the SARS commissioner had every right to say, hey, here's a way in which we can recoup. You don't have to go the 2% route.
Yes, the 2% VAT route.
Yeah. The
there's also, I mean.
In the last week, there's been multiple.
Other options.
Options.
Yeah.
Other than.
Over and above that, I think, you know, the clip was not supposed to be heard.
Oh, yeah.
Us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think what's telling about it is that behind the scenes, you know, it's so profound because behind the scenes is obviously chaos. The date for the budget speech has been missed, so it's been postponed.
Sure.
He is saying to his team, like, yo, guys, it's almost like whatever questions he was asked, because I didn't see the briefing before.
Sure.
But I can tell that he's basically saying,
guys,
like, why are you throwing me under the bus. I'm so glad that person spoke because me, nabengzo peta.
Sure. Type of,
and I'm like, but umphathi phela. You know, like, I'm not saying he should know everything, but in this case, he should.
No.
Also, the hot mic, do you think it was on purpose or was it a mistake?
No.
They just know when to cut PH. It's like when we do the show.
No. First, look, I'm on the fence about that. Shut the fuck up if you're going to speak about such things while a mic is in front of you. I think it's
true. Bad etiquette, whatever they call it. What is it?
Let's say Mike 101.
Yeah.
Ne? or media training. Call it media training, whatever you want to call it. But
Mike
101. Don't say dumb shit like that. We learned this in radio, bro.
Yeah.
That we're not going to say things until in front of the mic, you know?
Yes.
It could be a trap. So for me, and then what was alarming was the usister next to the minister saying, "Uhamba nini lo," indicating that actually, when is this commissioner leaving office? Like, what the fuck are you saying? Are you stupid? Like, why?
In front of a hot mic.
Leave hot mic. Uguti wena. Why are you asking us stupid questions? And futhi uhamba nini?
Uhamba nini?
So why are you challenging us? This is someone who's providing a solution. And so for me, I just found that as very alarming. I was like,
hey, dog, this is the team that's mad.
Yeah.
In the comments, people said, what did South Africa do wrong to deserve such useless leaders? Another one said, the ANC has completely destroyed South Africa. Oh, Derek, Ati Trump, we need your help.
No, man.
Another one said, Viva Tamara, Viva.
Wow, Tamara,
yes. 2.5 million to fly all the ministers to Cape Town, pay for all their hotels and all the cars and security. Then the speech has to be postponed. So it'll be another 2.5 million next month. How money is being wasted and the tax men shut their mouths? That's somebody's assessment here in the comments.
Sure.
Another one said, Niyomangala, abanye benu bayokhala. Who are they gossiping about in the questions, which got 42 replies. It said they're gossiping about the SARS commissioner, as PH laid out. Another one in the comments here in response to who are they gossiping about. Someone said, anyone know whether they mean 2.5 million, 2.5 billion or 2.5K? That's a good question.
No, I think they were talking about the percentage of it.
Okay, because people thought it's monetary value.
No.
You see, people are thinking 2.5 million, but obviously you're picking up Stompy's hot mic. Give the sound guy a raise for exposing them.
I wonder which news outlet actually leaked that.
Apparently it was ENCA, I think. I read that.
Standard.
But then again, you can't, really, there's different
mics. There's multiple mics
there,
yeah. It can only be apparent.
Yes, but like you said, etiquette. You know, sure. I was watching something where, I think it was the funeral of Jimmy Carter, right, in the States. So Jimmy Carter was the president in the USA, like in the 80s sometime. Anyway, he died. He was like 105 years old.
Sure.
And obviously, all the former presidents were at his funeral, at least the ones who are still alive. Bill Clinton was there.
Sure.
George Bush was there. Barack Obama was there. Donald Trump was there. Joe Biden was there.
Oh, yes, yes.
And
yes,
they
yes.
are sitting in the front two rows. Yes. So it's Biden and his wife.
The
Obama.
Wives, yeah, everyone was sitting
Obama
with them.
Didn't
yeah.
come with Michelle.
Yeah, because she was like, I'm not doing that.
Yes. And that's where the rumor came from that Obama's having an affair. But Obama.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, they said he's busy with Jennifer Aniston. That's why Michelle didn't attend.
Oh, come on, guys.
Allegedly. Trump is seated next to Obama.
Yes.
Right? And they're having a conversation. Mm. And there's all these lip readers, you know, because they know they are permanently on camera.
Yes.
You can see how careful and how, like, calm and about it Obama is. He's got his arms folded and he's like, yeah, Donald, you know. Like, he doesn't turn to him like, hey, except Trump, what can?
Sure.
He's like, yeah. Like light head movements, very soft lip movements. Sure. Trump as well is turning to him and then he looks forward, but he carries on talking because they're mindful of the fact that we are being filmed.
Yeah,
there's no sudden movements. And then people were saying they were discussing Kamala Harris because the lip readers didn't get involved.
Okay.
And, you know, they do these dubbings where it's like, yeah, Kamala was terrible. It's like, yeah, I don't. And Trump is like, yeah, well, I don't know what the fuck you were thinking putting Kamala, you know. But the reactions of everybody else in attendance, so Hillary Clinton and Bill,
sure.
Jill Biden,
they kept on looking
Kamala
back,
Harris, they kept looking back. And Kamala, when she looked back and she saw that they're talking, bro, she couldn't hide her facial expression.
Yes.
She was trying so hard, the vein in her forehead was busting. And Doug was just like, you understand? Because even though this is like micro-analyzing a moment, that is sure. actually a significant moment. Because if you listen to Trump and Obama when they speak about each other on the campaign trail, you'll sure. swear these guys are sworn enemies.
Well, that's
but that exchange was very civil.
Sure.
That exchange was like their bras. They had a nice little conversation. They were seated next to each other, etc.
Sure.
They have that etiquette you spoke about where they know, because I'm constantly on camera, this is how I need to operate. And we can only speculate. Yeah. Boss, you just told everybody the whole file.
If you were to ask if any of them are media trained, I find highly unlikely.
It for sure.
Their media training is, I have a spokesperson who's going to.
On your point of like where to cut costs, so the 2% VAT increase, you know, because I think it's difficult for the public to agree with this 2% proposed VAT increase. I was watching something Davi Ruiz said on it. You know, like in terms of how much money it would actually mean for the fiscus. It's like we need to basically cover a deficit of 300 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And if we had to do the 2% VAT increase, I think we'd cover like 60. It wouldn't be a significant amount of the 300. Yeah,
sure.
However, if we have to cut wasteful expenditure and start cutting the costs associated with propping up this elite who... Every minister must move with fucking 6 vehicles and 20 bodyguards. That comes at an astronomical cost.
Cost, yeah.
And to make a real life example, the other day I was at Trump's on the square in Sandton.
Oh, not Trump's.
No. Okay. Trump's. Well, I eat at Trump's because I support Trump.
I'm tired of Donald.
I was actually, to be fair, I was at Big Mouth. I went past Trump's to see some Zimbabwean oak.
Sure.
And when I popped into Trump's, there was a minister, I don't know who it is, seated at Trump's, right?
Sure.
And the manager was now having an argument with whoever it was that came with the minister, because it was full, bro. And they were like, no, we need this table and this table and
to
this sit is
here
minister.
To watch them, yeah.
You understand? Because of the spectacle he was causing by arguing with the manager and saying, see me because I'm here.
Sure.
It was bringing more attention to said minister because I had no fucking idea who that was. That could have just been another person coming to the restaurants and chowing.
Sure.
And I think most people are like, I'm a pretty well-informed guy.
Sure.
But bro, we don't know who you guys are. So unless they're being specifically targeted by somebody that we don't know about, I do not see the need for the type of money that goes towards protecting them.
Sure.
And I'm insecurity. It's overkill.
Yeah.
You really don't need that many protectors for somebody who's so low risk.
Sure. I just think, I mean...
And that's one thing. I'm just making one example.
There is a lot of bloating in those departments, right? You've got... You know, the minister,
the deputy, the DG.
The DG. Yeah,
the MMC.
Isn't there DDG or something?
No offense, Kenny.
This is the DDG. There's tons of people for the same thing. And it's just like, I've seen many many of the opposition parties as well. Just I think this thing has been proposed many a years to say cut down on, you know, the blue lights, cut down on the amount of security, the amount of cars, the expenditure, you know.
The fact that they've all got generators so they don't experience load shedding.
That's the one cool thing I've experienced living near a minister's house is that on your street you'll always have water and electricity. But I mean, look, that's BS. You know, I just think there is room for cutting that stuff. I'm not saying, hey, cut and there must only be one minister and whatnot. I'm just saying, look into that thing.
Yeah, and about start there before we start entertaining taxing us more.
And then the SARS commissioner was saying, arm us so that we can collect better. We can collect. Right now, I think it's a small number. I don't know if it's like 20,000 or whatnot businesses or registered businesses versus the amount of actual businesses that are registered on the CPI.
On CIPC.
Yeah, that you know, are meant to be collecting tax, that they collect tax from.
Yes.
So imagine 20,000 versus maybe like 1 million. I'm just making an example. Yeah. How is they're not recouping the money that they should be? And they're saying, gents, arm us so we can go get this.
Yeah,
money.
I don't know how I feel about that because it'll come for us first.
No, it's anyway. It's not even about that. If the one body...
Don't arm them.
if the one body is who can collect the money is saying, let's do the...
Yes. I'm just joking. My sauce is up to date. Them niggas phoned me last week, Thursday.
Our delivery of sushi has arrived and we're about to chow and get into it. My chopsticks are ready. Soy sauce is ready. The man himself is about to step into the building. We're talking about Kenny, the sushi king, Kunene. Yes, sir.
The man is in the building. As mentioned earlier today, we are honored to be hanging out with the MMC for Roads and Transport in the city of Joburg, Mr. Kenny Kunene.
Yes, sir.
I feel like that intro is like too small.
So formal. This man, there's plenty of titles we can give him, but let's be formal and respect. You know, respect.
Let me do it properly. So, today we are hanging out.
But you also have to respect the king of sushi.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. We were like, no. We're
formerly known as the sushi king.
We were going to stay away from the thing. No. Let's respect the Grootmani, you know, because I know you from, way back, from my 2010,
Zadis, dude.
When you mention sushi, I'm like, hey, does this man want to speak up? But no, we're not going to go there.
That's the name South Africans gave me.
100%.
Yeah. And it makes me a king, so I'm royalty.
Got you. You know, if I can, the Zadis, right? Zaw was the first club that I went to where the culture that is currently the club culture was already happening. Like, Zaw was the OG, like, baller club.
Yes, dude.
You know, and Kenny was the OG showman.
In that
he wasn't there when you arrived, right? You knew he was going to be there. But the lift, I think the lift could only take a certain number of people.
I know there was the one in Cape Town and there was one in Sandton.
There was one in Sandton and the Radisson.
Yes, Radisson, right? Yes.
So when he would arrive, it would be like, you know what they do now when you buy a certain bottle? The music changes.
Yeah. Yes.
And then when they bring that bottle to your table, it's like Star Wars theme or whatever. Yes. So when he would arrive, the lift would be shut down. Everyone had to blow, right? Then he's coming in. And then when the lift opens at the upstairs floor, hey, fine, ungena.
It's a party.
He comes in with baddies. OG baddies. Before they were baddies.
We're not about that. But I guess that was the entrance as well. Here it was like, I've never seen any of these guys so respectful in the office.
Dude, these guys, they don't take us serious here.
So I'm like, okay, cool. The king is here. But let's get into it. Yes. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot happening in this country. And we want your opinion. And I think, you were talking a lot.
I think, you know, let's start with the heavy question. Why is the city broken, Kenny? It would just appear that Joburg is falling apart. There's pages that are quite prominent on Twitter that show there's that Josie versus Josie page. I understand that a lot of it is also, if we show all the bad elements, we will be thinking that everything is bad.
Yeah.
But if you drive around the city of Joburg, and I've seen you comment on it yourself, it's like the city is in a state of disrepute, like, destruction, where it's so bad. I don't understand how the city actually runs.
Okay.
Why are we there?
Well, first thing that we must understand is that whatever is broken was broken by human beings, and it can be fixed by human beings.
Sure.
So generally in the country, there's a leadership crisis. That's what is lacking. Leadership that is decisive. But when you look, let's talk about the finances of the city. I believe that we can collect more. We can do better.
Sure.
But the way I found things happening there, it's not assisting the city to collect more revenue.
Okay. Mm.
The way decisions have been made, it's not helping the city. But let's talk about the Department of Roads and Transport that I found. I found a department that was disintegrated. I found a department with a low morale. I found a department where people were doing as they please. Asphalt was being bought from private sector. It was being dumped in the park. It was being dumped all over because people want to go to work, and there was no consequence management. Sure. Nothing happened, you know.
So asphalt to fix roads.
To fix roads, you know. But I transformed that department. By the way, in my 2 months, in my first month, I actually gave an instruction to fire the whole region because they were on strike for 2 months. And I said, if they are not at work the following day, they must all be dismissed and an advert must go out. Because my thing is service delivery. I did not come to the city with a CV.
Sure.
I came with a vote, and a vote says, serve me, be lovely. A servant.
Lovely.
So, but the following day, they were all back at work. And that region is the hardest working region as we speak.
Nice.
So there was that, there is that leadership vacuum. But I have transformed the department. I'll make you just three examples. There's what we call automated fare collection, which is AFC. That is the payment system that Gautrain uses. For 7 years, when I got there in 2023, they could not appoint a company that could implement AFC.
When you say the payment system it uses, it's when we swipe our Gautrain card.
By the buses. Metro
okay,
bus,
okay, yes.
And Rea Vaya.
Yes, and for Gautrain bus, years, obvious.
Yes,
yeah.
For 7 years, they could not appoint a company because there's this thing of horses in government. Each one wants their horse to be the one running the race.
Okay. Horses.
that's a new term.
My horse.
He's running.
But I came in February. And in December, we appointed they appointed a company through the Metro Trading Company. The company then ordered the equipment, the systems. We put them into Metrobus. On the 1st of October, we went cashless last year, 2024. We went cashless. End of October, I said to the team, give me the collection of 2023 October. And the collection of 2024 October, so that I can determine what impact cashless will have. In 2023 October, we collected 6.1 million. In 2024 October, with cashless, we collected 9.55 million.
Wow.
So on average, there's about 3 million rands
disappearing
that the city loses every month to drivers who steal cash.
Of course.
Now that is cashless,
sure.
We are now seeing that money coming into the pot.
And revenue, like you said.
Revenue collection. Number two, there's GT, Joburg International Transport Interchange. It's just next to Park Station.
It's the one that's being built currently.
No, it was built for 530 million 14 years ago.
Wow.
When I came in, it was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
And for 13 years, they could not even advertise for a company that can run GT. It's an international interchange in the sense that all buses from SADC countries and provinces, that's where they will pick up the people, that's where they will drop, including the taxis. So it's a huge transport interchange. For 13 years, they could not advertise because they could not agree on the horse. As we speak now, they are busy with the evaluation of that particular tender. When I came in, I said, this thing can sit. We need to advertise. There's an asphalt plant that was built for 60 million, over 60 million. The asphalt plant is a world-class plant. It makes asphalt so that we don't have to buy asphalt from the private sector.
Yes.
It has been sitting there as a white elephant.
It's an asphalt plant that belongs to the city.
It belongs to the city.
Right. So all it needs is to be staffed and to run.
The staff is there. The staff is going to work doing nothing. Because people did not want it to work.
Money's only fucking knife.
Because they are buying from the private sector and they are collecting on the other side.
Yes.
Came in within 6 months.
Changed.
I got that asphalt recommissioned and working. We saved 40% of what they were spending buying asphalt when we are producing it ourselves.
So,
it can produce over 200 tons per hour of asphalt. Now, I'm saying let us redo and reconstruct the precinct because I want to take it to its maximum production.
Mm.
Once we do that, we can sell asphalt to other municipalities, to Sandral, to the province.
With the excess supply.
Generate revenue, employ more people because JRA has become an ambulance, a 10111.
Mm.
That is why the road infrastructure is so bad.
Mm.
Over 30 years ago, there were 25 people in one team at JRA. So one region, there's 7 regions. Mm. One region will have 8 teams. Mm. So in one team, there'll be about be between 18 and 25 people over 30 years ago.
What is the role of a team? To go
the
and
team
fix
is to go and maintain.
Maintain. There
it's supposed to maintain the infrastructure.
Mm.
But now it's responding to emergencies. Why? There's 6 people in one team today.
Yeah.
From 25 to 6 people. So that is why there's no maintenance of infrastructure. Generally, this government, since it took over, it does not focus on maintenance.
Mm. And then things fall apart. There we go.
When things fall apart, you spend more money. It's emergency, you steal.
And horses.
Yes.
You see, yes.
And so, because it's emergency, you're able to put your horse in. Because
exactly.
You have to do this
because
now.
You can't go through the processes.
100%.
So I have come with an attitude of, let us fix. We've got 1,592 bridges. 602 of them are in a bad or worse condition, which means they can collapse anytime.
Mm.
And that assessment was done in 2016. We are now doing an assessment with technology that gives us accurate data on our bridges.
Drones, or how are you?
A company came and they did a pilot, which they presented to us. Proper stuff. So now we'll have proper data. But from the date of 2016, and we have seen these bridges. And I have written to the province, to the Minister of Transport, to the Presidency. To say, here's an infrastructure falling apart. Can you make infrastructure grant available? It's there. It goes back to Treasury every year.
Because
nobody uses the money.
So that we can fix the infrastructure of Johannesburg.
Mm.
That has not happened. That was in 2023.
Yeah, I want to run that video in the background that you're talking about. Because a lot of the things you're mentioning are actually on the Twitter thread of your transport MMC handle.
Yeah.
So I like that you update these things every day. Look, it's obviously a new page. It doesn't have a lot of followers.
Sure. Yeah.
But honestly, there's an update on that page every single day. Today we are here. Today we are here.
Yes.
And what you're mentioning about bridges, I don't know if it was in Bryanston or Fourways, the stormwater drains were completely blocked.
Yes.
But you could see it was blocked by like old stuff,
right?
They came and they cleared it and then the whole area obviously could flow again.
Yes.
What, on your maintenance point, if that's left to be there indefinitely, eventually the bridge will collapse, but also you've got this blockage and backlog of sewage and everything else that's in that river that's supposed to be flowing.
There's two problems on stormwater. One is the communities.
Yeah.
They dump in the stormwater. That is why you would find in the townships, in the inner city.
Yes.
And so on.
Yes.
People dump in the stormwater drains, in the KIs. But you come to Santin, the water flows because dumping does not happen there.
Sure. Yes.
So, first of all, that is the biggest problem that we have, is the dumping. From August,
Illegal dumping.
Yes. From August, September, we start clearing these stormwater drains. But by November, they fill them in again.
Mm.
You look at London Road.
Mm.
We've been fixing London Road continuously. So the problem is
London Road in Alex.
In Alex.
Yes, I saw your video. You went there.
You want to respond to the effects. You don't want to deal with the cause of the problem.
Yes.
So that's the first one. The second one is just an old infrastructure. you have bridges like Kilburn in Roodepoort that we fixed. When the bridge was built 60 years ago or 40 years ago, the water, the rain was not as severe as it is now.
Mm.
We now have climate change, global warming, the patterns of weather are different. So the bridge now is too low for the amount of water that is flowing. So you just have to elevate the bridge, put bigger culverts, and the bridge flows.
Mm.
We did that in Roodepoort. We did that in Fynetown. We opened up in Eldos. We are doing a low-lying bridge in Batlu. We did the high-lying bridge. We raised it so that water flows.
Mm.
So there is work that is being done. The biggest problem with people complaining at this particular time, it happens every year. From December up until February, there's heavy rains that are happening.
Yes.
Now, water is the biggest enemy of road, of asphalt, what you would call tar.
Yes, it washes the roads away.
That is why you would find a lot of potholes during this time. And unfortunately, you can't fix potholes when they are wet.
Mm, sure.
You cannot work on a road surface that is wet.
Sure.
So, which is why the potholes will take longer to fix at this particular time.
Of course.
But once the rain has stopped, you will see JRA working. But it doesn't mean we do not work. We do respond where it gets dry. The teams go out and they go and fix. The only work that we do during a rainy time or when it rains is unblocking of stormwater drains and so on and so on. But the road infrastructure we cannot touch when it's wet because it will be waste of asphalt.
Okay, well, when you're ready, there's one on Kola Drive there that looks like a donga, Kenny. That one has been there the whole of summer.
Which one?
No, I think
opposite Wanderers Stadium.
No,
it's really bad.
Before you go toward your home, Centurion has a very bad, and in fact has a horrible rep when it rains, there's flooding. Is it because of this, of the...
Where's that?
Centurion.
Centurion.
Centurion is
Centurion falls under Tshwane.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't fall under us.
You. Yeah.
It's not
but if there is flooding,
yes.
it's either dumping
sure.
or the underground can't take enough, can't take the amount of water flowing.
Sure. Yes.
Because once water can't find its way underground, it goes on top of the surface.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the other things you would find that when private developers build, like in Protea in Soweto, they don't build stormwater. And you ask yourself, who signed from planning and JRA? Who signed
Very
off?
Good question, yes.
Who signed off on this development
sure.
when there is absolutely 100%. No stormwater drainage?
Yes. I read something similar about Four Ways,
yes.
where it's like, who signs off on that? You are adding 500 homes onto existing infrastructure for stormwater
exactly.
and sewage sure. with no plans for stormwater and sewage.
You don't even
increase
the
same
the
thing in the Vaal, where
yes.
you know a lot of student accommodations are being built.
Yes.
No one is increasing the pipes, and you are adding 5,000-6,000 people to an area designed, or at least that was handling 500 people.
That is the problem that you have, especially in the townships,
yes.
in the areas that are being extended.
Yes, I've seen that one in Protea.
These developers are evil. They are evil.
Yeah.
They are ruthless and
yes.
evil, these property developers.
Well, they want the money to sell the house. They want to sell the houses. They're not interested.
So they want to spend
yes.
as cheap as possible.
Sure.
You go to Pimville in Soweto.
Yeah.
They have built without building tar. Nice houses, no tar.
That's
you,
the
you still ask yourself, who from the city of Johannesburg signed off on that project? So,
so who was it? Whose horse is that?
I don't know. You know? so even these property developers are so corrupt that they pay people to sign
inside,
off on inferior
yeah,
work.
Inside, yeah.
And now we are left with the
with
mess that they have created and the community now fights with us.
Because the community is going to come and say, the city is doing nothing for us. We're living here, and look at the stormwater situation.
Sure.
Look at the sewage situation.
Yes.
But as you say, when people read these things, same like the potholes. When I've got a pothole on Collet Drive near my home, it's summertime. I don't know that it needs to be tried to be fixed. I'm thinking the
yes.
city is doing nothing.
Yes.
And in the same way, they're creating a problem of stormwater drainage, of sewage, or whatever the case may be. It's not the city's fault, is what you're saying. It's
my
the
brother,
developer's fault.
I'm the victim.
Yeah.
I drive sports cars.
Sure.
Yes.
I drive supercars.
Yeah.
Sure.
I have
you can't drive here.
So now I'm driving. Yes. Weekend, I'm driving. I must also dug potholes.
Sure.
So I cannot be that stupid
yes.
to allow the team not to fix potholes
yeah.
when I am going to become a victim of potholes.
Yes.
When my wife is going to become a victim of potholes.
100%.
When my friends are going to become victims of potholes. So in as much as people get angry, I get angry.
Yes.
But the bigger problem with potholes is pH. An aged road infrastructure. We need to take out this particular road infrastructure that we have. We've got 13 plus kilometers of road in the city of Johannesburg. 13 kilometers. Some of it, less than 70.
What do you mean 13 kilometers?
So 72% is tarred.
Yes.
And the remainder is gravel.
I see.
So the city of Johannesburg.
Yes.
Roads make 13 kilometers.
13,000 kilometers. Okay, yeah, because I was like
13,000 kilometers.
Sorry, Hillbrow.
So 72% is tarred.
Yes.
But most of that
sure.
has been tarred 60 years, 50 years ago.
Long time ago, yes.
There's illegal mining happening. There's again. Climate change.
Yes, there's gas explosions.
There's gas explosions. There's so many things that have affected our road infrastructure.
Sure.
That is why sometimes we'll do deep patching when we fix a pothole instead of just a mere covering.
Sure.
Because we would then realize that
there's more damage.
There's more to the road and we need to stabilize it from underground.
Sure. Mm.
The LiDAR system that the guys have presented also shows us the potholes and how deep they are.
Mm.
But a lot of our road infrastructure has to be taken out and we need to redo this road infrastructure.
Yes,
it needs a lot of money. So the only thing that we can do, because there's limitations of funds.
Yes.
We don't have enough money as the city to respond to all these challenges.
Yes, we need to increase
but
revenue.
Where I'm sitting, I would want to access that infrastructure grant so that we can redo all these roads so that we do not see potholes emerging.
Mm.
Can
otherwise, we keep on fixing potholes and they keep
and somebody's horse is getting rich.
Can I ask? So through some of my travels, and especially a city like Dubai, once it gets dark and the city is quiet, they fix the city, especially the roads. Where if there's an area where, there's damage to the roads at night, the city is working. I fail to see that in South Africa, and I think it's the smartest thing where it's like, okay, cool, you're not competing against traffic. You've got got 12 hours to fix the roads. I don't see a lot of that happening. Why doesn't that happen? I'm not saying it doesn't happen in your department, but I'm just saying.
It doesn't happen. You are quite correct.
Sure.
It doesn't happen. You can ask the city manager now, the acting city manager.
Sure.
We have said, as JRA, we want to do a shift system.
Sure.
Mm.
So again, you have to consult the union and
red tape and
we want to employ more people.
Sure.
Again, we have to employ more people for us to be able to do a shift system.
Mm.
So for example, a shift system, you're saying like 8 hours. So six in the morning to 2 PM, 2 PM, 10 PM, 10
exactly.
PM, 4 AM.
So you would have people working on at night around the clock. And then you'd have people working during the day. The challenge with the people working at night, those who are working during the day now are being robbed. They are being stepped. Their cell phones have been taken.
Hmm.
JMPD does not have enough capacity. When I arrived, the teams refused to work in the townships. They refused to work in Eldos. They refused to work in Alex.
I refused to work in Eldos.
They were being stepped. They were being robbed.
Yes.
But then
also got expensive equipment with them, like your jackhammers and things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I got the members of Patriotic Alliance as the MMC, as their political leader, to say, when the teams are working of JRA, please go, those who are not employed, go and guard them.
Yes, like go, a CPF type of thing.
Yeah, just be around them, deal with the criminals so that they can do their work.
Mm.
Now the teams are beginning to work, but we have also mobilized communities. Because whenever I launch my Operation Restore, we bring in communities.
Mm.
And we say to them, if criminals are stabbing these people, they will not come here.
Yes.
And you will have service delivery challenges.
It's your responsibility as a community.
As a community member to make sure that you protect these people because they are saving you.
100%. Dakedi, if I can ask, I, a lot of what you're saying, when you speak, I can hear you are articulate. You know what you're talking about. You understand your department from start to finish. But something I'll note is that I'm not sure if you're an engineer by profession,
mm-hmm.
but you've come into this department. You've familiarized yourself with what's going on. And in conducting the business of the department, I see a lot of common sense thinking.
Yes.
Where we are, you know, as citizens, we're led to believe that we need to go and find these professionals, kai kai, and then maybe we'll have something fixed. Whereas you've come in, you've looked at a problem from a common sense perspective. The asphalt one, I think, is a brilliant example.
Mm-hmm.
You have an asphalt plant, state of the art, one of the best in the world. You're not using it because you're getting it from private sector. You have a bus system where the cashless, everything is cashless. You know what I mean? How are we still paying R3.50 to Kibeli Pass in 2025? These are like all common sense things that you've implemented. Is that something you bring into your management style? Because I think a lot of people are surprised that the Sushi King, you understand, Kenny Kunene from Zaa, everywhere that you do move into the different departments that you go and you manage, these departments thrive. And is that something that you find in your travels or when dealing with people?
God put me on a journey to understand management and to understand results.
Mm.
I was a teacher. I needed to produce results, learners to pass. I was a very excellent teacher. I became a criminal. And I was a
Most teachers do. So Kenny Kunene was a teacher on Yizo Yizo.
So I was a criminal.
Yeah.
And for you to commit a crime, you plan, you strategize, you execute. You have to get out of there, not arrested. There is time that you have to respect, but there's also execution that you have to respect. I went to prison. Time is limited. For you to eat, for you to do your things, you have to run around.
Systems.
But you also have to read people. That's the system that I went through. Then I came out and I became a businessman. I met billionaires all over the world from different continents. And I learned from them. And when I came into politics, I brought all that experience that God has blessed me with into government. So I bring the business mindset into the city, into my department. I do not have time for lazy people. I want results. I want everyone to earn their salary. And if you don't, they know I deal with you. So that is you are quite right. That's what I've brought into government. I'm not a career politician. I did not get into government because I was a community activist or a branch member. No. I'm a community activist because I'm a philanthropist. I've been helping people, but I brought the business mind. So I think like a businessman. Why are you wasting when you have the resources?
Yes,
sure. You've got a car, but you are every day using Uber Black. Are you stupid?
Yeah. At whose cost? It's not your money.
It costs you more to use Uber Black, but your car is parked there.
Yes.
So that is the mindset that I have brought, but also a work ethic. PH. I don't play.
I wanna ask a question. I think it affects a lot of people in this country, and even now, we find ourselves with stage 6 load shedding, right?
Yes.
And that already worsens the traffic and the traffic that we have. Now, I want to address something. When it comes to the robots that don't work in the large
city.
Parts of the city,
yeah.
And you find amapara controlling our traffic, you know, that I would like to think that it sits in your department, but you know, how does government feel about that? What are you guys doing about that as a department? What is being done to fix robots that don't work?
Sharp.
There's plenty of robots that don't work.
Let's deal with that one.
Yes,
amapara.
Shout out to Amapara for helping us.
Public safety is responsible for traffic control.
Yes.
I'm responsible for the roads. Traffic lights.
Okay.
And the roads. Robots and the road is me. Traffic control is public safety.
Okay.
By the way, Amapara are not helping because they cause accidents every now and then.
Yes. The ones who direct traffic.
Yes. So we cannot condone that illegal control of traffic.
But don't you think it's funny that they actually have... It's become such commonplace now.
No,
where it is. We actually expect Amapara. Me, when I approach a robot and it's not working and there's no one there, I'm like, where the hell are the para?
These guys.
I don't think to myself, where's JMPD? And I don't think, where's Outsurance? Okay. I'm like, how? Afahamachid. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I know.
Some of them, I know them on sites. There's one here, you know the one here by just off Catherine. He wears that colorful wig.
Yeah.
That brewer, he's the king of Sandton from Vierda Valley up to like the Gautrain robots.
Sure.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that brewer.
Look, it's not good looking for a city to have these guys controlling traffic.
Mm.
However, let me give you a picture of the robots.
Yes.
The city of Johannesburg controls 2,023 traffic signals in the city of Johannesburg.
Okay.
Those are owned by the city. Then there's 247 traffic signals that are owned by the province of Gauteng.
Yes.
But these 247 are in the city of Johannesburg, but they are on the roads that are controlled by province. I'll make you an example of the roads.
Yeah.
Golden Highway, it's a provincial road. Potholes there, robots there, is the responsibility of the province. We can't touch.
Right.
You see four ways. The traffic signal on top of N1. When you come from the south.
On William Nicol.
Winnie Mandela, Baba. Let
Winnie Mandela.
And we spoke about this last time.
I was the one that pushed for that change, Baba. William Nicol must stay in London, Baba. Yes. So, when you off-ramp, coming from the south, when you turn left, you're going to four ways.
Four ways, yes.
From that traffic signal on top of N1, going into four ways, that is the provincial route. Which means all those are
all the ways down
provincial traffic signals.
Oh, I see. So to going past Monte Cassino, going
down there, that's province.
Right.
But when you turn right from Sloan and Winnie Mandela, going down there, that's
going
the city.
Sloan, Bryanston,
you Drive, will see all these from Sloan are always wacky.
And
that site not wacky.
It's a mess.
But it was
that's
because
very true. The one on the corner by Monte, Leslie Avenue,
yes.
It's never working.
So there's many of those traffic signals. Hendrik Potgieter is a provincial road. It's not a city road. I can quote many.
Sure.
So what I did last year, I approached the MEC of Transport and I said, can you sign an SLA with us?
Mm.
Because our turnaround time to fix traffic signals is quicker.
Mm. Yes.
We've got units that we have put in the traffic signals that alerts the team when the traffic signal goes off.
Right.
So that is why the city traffic signals would always be working or they will be flashing, but the team will come and fix quickly.
But the province ones now.
The provincial ones were a problem. However, with the intervention that I made, spoke to the MEC brought a team. I brought my team, we had a virtual meeting, and we mandated the teams to finalize the SLA, and it was finalized last week.
Mm.
Nice.
So last week, the province handed over all their traffic signals to us now.
Mm.
Now you will see a difference in the traffic signals
moving
being responded
forward.
To. So we invoice the province, and then we fix the traffic signals.
Yes.
But there are other challenges.
Yeah, but how does that work? Because who pays now? In other words,
province will pay us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, from a budgetary perspective.
Yes. We go, we fix with our resources.
You
we invoice the province. The province pays us.
Love it.
The province still owes us 21 million.
So are they going to pay you? Is my
they
question.
They will pay us.
Because if they don't pay,
Patala.
Eventually...
That's part of the agreement.
MEC, okay. Patala.
And then, of the 2023 I mentioned, 194 of the city of Johannesburg have been vandalized. They are not on the ground.
Traffic signals.
Traffic signals.
Right.
194 of the 2023 are not working. They are not on the ground. They've been taken.
Mm.
They are gone. We need 70 million to fix the 194, of which most of them are in the inner city.
Mm.
Now there's a second problem where you would see a traffic signal not working. Bah! The teams can see it's not working. They come on site, then they find that there's no power. Then they have to call city power or ESCOM. They know which one is powered by ESCOM, which one
is powered
by
city power. Yes.
Now, city power, when it's raining, will say, and ESCOM, we can't touch electricity when it's raining.
Mm.
That's why you'll also find traffic signals taking long to fix when it's raining, because they can't work with electricity in the rain. Sometimes city power says, our teams are already out, we will disperse tomorrow. So that is another challenge of dependency. But we have come up now with proposals. We went out on request for proposals for alternative ways of energy. Alternative energy to power our traffic signals.
So solar, so other things besides.
Other things.
Yeah.
I was in the Philippines at a conference, and I saw the technologies that they have with their traffic signals. So that is the one intervention that we want to do, power them outside of City Power and Eskom. Number two is to put them, especially in the city, on the high-rise buildings so that we connect the traffic signal to the wall of the building to avoid vandalism. Okay. Because a lot of vandalism happens in the city. So we've brought about ideas on how to correct this so that our traffic signals are not forever off. There's budgetary challenges, but we are moving. We are moving. We are not sitting back. There is another technology that we have found of traffic signals that are being built now with a different system within the traffic signal. There are traffic signals that you can put up and take and leave. You put them up during peak hours, set them up. They don't depend on power from Eskom. Once peak time is done, you fold them, go and store them. But also when you've got events, whether at F&B, Ellis Park, and there are routes that need traffic signals for flow, you go and set them up there during the time of
that event. Because currently what JRA does is they bring all of the infrastructure for road closures and stuff. You know,
instead of bringing road closures, you put the traffic signals on key roads, intersections that would not make traffic congestion during an event. Then once you are done with the event, you pack it up, you go and put it in the storeroom. So these are the things that I've seen in London also. So we are bringing those to the city of Johannesburg. This is a world-class city and it needs to be seen as such. You know, New York was worse than Johannesburg.
In the 80s, late 80s, early
90s. It was worse. Ruth Kiliani transformed New York. And I believe, Mina, Kenugunene, if the citizens of Johannesburg vote for me to be the mayor of Johannesburg, this city will be far more different to what it is now in 3 years of me becoming the mayor. That is because I have seen the problems. But when you propose the solutions, unfortunately, sometimes...
Why is that, Kenny? Because currently, the current mayor of Johannesburg, Tata Morero, you know, there was a tweet the other day where he put up or he retweeted where there was a taxi, a concrete barrier, rubbish on the floor, and they said before and then after the rubbish is removed. But I mean, you're talking about an area this side, and the tweet was something along the lines of the city is working hard to clean up what. And people were like, is this a joke? You see, one person could have picked up this. So my point I'm making is, I think Tata Morero is, I don't know him personally, and I won't lie, I haven't followed it closely enough to comment intelligently. But what it does appear like is that I understand there's a team of people who make him tweet or make him or tell him where he needs to appear. Somebody runs his itinerary. I'm not saying it's him on purpose. But that team is making him look incompetent in that. That is not something that you tweet. That's not a cleanup. That's one person just picking up the rubbish. And anybody that knows the CBD, if you go to CBD at 6 p.m. any weekday, it's filthy. If you go to city at 6 a.m. the next day, it's clean. There are teams that go out and do these things. The other thing is, there was a video of him speaking about illegal foreigners. He was like, today we conducted an operation and we caught 10 illegal Zimbabweans. And people are like, 10? There's like 62 million. You can't claim a victory as 10. Do you understand? Instead of the video having the impact it should have, to say the mayor is working, the city is working, I feel like, especially with Twitter and how, the way social media works, the negative comments on most of the things that he's trying to inform us on are overpowering his role. Now I see a story where he's saying he feels like water infrastructure is being used to sabotage his mayorship, in that the water outages around the city are being conducted by, I don't know, Isandile Sithathu, and it's making him look bad as the mayor. You know, what do we do now in a case where, you know, unfortunately, I do believe it's not him personally, but the mayor does not have the confidence of the citizens of Johannesburg. How do we get the thinking, at least, and the implementation of Kenny Kunene right to the top office? Because right now you're doing it in one department. But I would love to see it implemented across the board. When you were acting mayor of the city, you went to Windsor and you were breaking down buildings and kicking people out. There was action. You understand?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it only lasted 2 weeks because you were there for a limited time.
Look, my brother, we are in a coalition.
Yes.
And when you lead a coalition, you must be able to listen to everyone. you must be able to listen to inputs.
Yes. Even if you don't agree with him.
No, no. If they are good, you have to listen to other people. But if you lead and you've made up your mind on what you want to achieve and everybody else does not matter, it's going to be a problem. We've had different mayors.
Yes.
You see, in a coalition.
We've had three mayors, I think.
Yes,
five mayors.
Yes, three mayors.
Well, three but, in the coalition.
Yeah, but let me come to this one of the mayor posting. You see, I also post.
Yes.
Twitter is full of negative people.
It's a vile place, that one.
Yeah.
Twitter is just evil. X, it's X now.
It's X, yeah.
X is evil. Mm. There are people who you can take 100 million rands and say, I am giving this 100 million to all students who are suffering, who cannot pay. Sure. I'm building houses for old people. Twitter will say, in it for you?
Who's the horse?
Why are you doing it? Who gives all their money?
Where's your horse?
Where's your horse? Yeah.
So Twitter will never appreciate.
Yeah.
There are a few people on Twitter that will appreciate. There's a few people on Twitter that will ask constructive questions.
Yes.
There are a few people on X that will ask the questions you are asking constructively. But there are a lot of people on X that will ask with the purpose of smearing you.
Yes.
I was smeared on X. I refused to respond on X. I went to television and I responded.
Great.
And I cleared, because a lot of it is very stupid people, ignorant people who are just angry, who are just full of hatred. And they take that hatred out on Twitter. They fight with their boyfriends. They find their boyfriends, their girlfriends, projection, their wives, their husband cheating. Yeah. They get angry. They go take it out on you on X. So I don't take anything on X seriously. No. I live my life and I do my work.
Yes.
We post on X so that those who want to see the work we are doing and appreciate it can appreciate it.
So how do we get you to the
mayor
to do that?
That's why I'm working hard, because I want to be the mayor.
Yes.
I'm standing in 2016 to be the mayor of Johannesburg.
In 2026.
Yeah. And if I'm given that opportunity, I will transform this city, because I know in 2023, let's talk about the water problem. I wrote to Rand Water and I said, I'm coming with the leadership of the Patriotic Alliance. Can you present to us challenges of water in the city of Johannesburg and Gauteng in general? And we went and they presented. I now know that the solutions. But when you are in a coalition and you sometimes make these proposals, it's like, no, this one was too clever. No, if this person does this thing and it's known it's him, it's his idea.
Okay.
Yeah, the politics,
he's gonna get support.
Yes.
So let's try
to
kill it.
Yes. And he's gonna look good and we're gonna look
exactly.
Yeah, we're gonna look
I came up with proposals on how to increase our revenue. No. It can't come from him.
Sure.
So that is the problem. So when you are a leader in a coalition, you must accommodate all proposals, because that they will make you look good as a leader.
Yes.
They will make you look good as a leader.
Yes. But then the coalition
delivery
looks
is happening.
Politics.
The GLU looks good.
Yes.
But if your approach is, if it comes from there, we shut it down.
Yes.
We don't interrogate whether it's good or not for the city, for service delivery or not.
Yes, it's whether it's good for the party.
That is when that's when the problem arises. Yeah. You look at President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Yeah,
he has appointed ministers. Ministers are running. Whoever shines, you don't see President Ramaphosa holding them back. Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture. Said the president in 2020 said we must repatriate the bodies of our fallen heroes in African countries. He came in, he implemented that in less than 100 days. The president didn't say, no, it can't be him. He will shine.
Yeah.
The president supported him, and even went to address those events.
Sure.
So you see that the president, number one of the country, has understood that in a coalition, you must be able to take inputs from everyone. You must 100%. Be able to work together, because then you look good together. So that's what is lacking at the city at the moment.
But be that as it may,
there are other MMCs that are working very hard.
And they also
experience the same problems that I would experience.
Yes.
But speaking for me and nobody else,
yeah,
My brother, I can transform Johannesburg. I can make Johannesburg look good.
Yeah.
I can make Johannesburg service its people to their expectations.
Mm.
I can make Johannesburg service business. I can make Johannesburg be a world-class African city that it is supposed to be, because God has blessed me for this time.
2026.
We believe you again.
No, no, no. I can see it. It's 2020. Kenny Kunene, 2026. I can. And then everything else below. I can. Yeah. And we will. There we go.
Together we can.
Put his
poster must be him with a mink coat and a cigar.
2026. I can. There it is.
You know, the tagline. I still DJ.
Yes. I must book you.
I still DJ.
I must book you.
No. I play. because I believe that I must not be a lie to our people.
Sure. Yes.
I enjoy my life. I post.
Yes.
I cannot live behind the scenes a certain life and come out and be a fake to the public. Because if I fake who I am to them, I will fake the work that I'm doing.
That you're doing. Sure. Yeah.
So I book me.
No, Hurmanya.
I hoi piano. I hoi lounge house.
They mustn't think we are horses. We are booking this man. He's talented enough. I've seen him.
We are not his horses.
Please. at the next Polar, headlining is Kenny Kunene.
Salute.
Thank you so much for coming through today.
Thank you for your time.
Please come back again.
Yes. No, I will.
I think there's a couple of developments that are happening geopolitically everywhere.
Yes.
That next time we'll definitely appreciate your comments on.
Also about Trump, we must talk about Trump.
We must talk about
Trump.
That's my man.
He's my wallpaper again. Well, these Trump supporters.
That's my man.
We're limited for time, but thank you for your time and thank you for coming through. 2026 is around the corner, so we love the work that you're putting in. And we know that you can. And in 2026,
I can't believe you said Trump, my man.
Tell us about Trump.
Okay, one question.
Right? I saw Gayton commenting on AGOA, right? So I assume Gayton's position is the PA position. Not I know, I just assume. Where he was saying, we need to talk to this man and we need to repair whatever relations, because me as Gayton McKenzie, the minister, it's not about me. I'm worried about what the fallout will be if things like AGOA are under threat, if things like the aid America provides are under threat. The losers will be the people. Now, when you say Trump is your man, he has a style of America first, in my opinion. I don't believe that Trump does anything maliciously to ruin the next country. I think he does stuff because he's coming in with the mandate to say, I will put America first. This USA thing that they're doing now where, do you think $2.5 billion came to South Africa and it went to the right places?
No, not a chance. Of course not.
So what would you say from Trump's leadership style, number one, you really
like? One question. You don't have time.
On Gayton's comments, where we are at the moment in terms of, our president, he seems to be moving in a way where, I don't know if he's trying to piss off Trump or if he's also just trying to do his own thing and ignore Trump, but it doesn't seem like we are trying to repair relations with America the way that we're operating at the moment, at least to me.
Trump is decisive.
Mm.
And you are quite correct. America first. Mm. We are saying, put South Africans first.
Mm.
Trump is saying, abahambe. Illegal immigrants.
Mm.
We are saying, abahambe, illegal immigrants.
Of course.
So Trump is decisive. And indeed, you have to engage him.
Mm.
If I give you money, I have a right of opinion to your decisions.
Of course.
Because I give you money.
Mm.
But Trump is saying to us, as African countries, you've got resources. Start being self-sustainable. Stop depending on other countries that you are actually making rich. Make yourself rich and stop borrowing money. Look at Ismail Traore of Burkina Faso.
Burkina Faso. And the gold
when France
produced,
took the grant that they've been giving them, he said, France has given us grants for years, yet we are still underdeveloped. So them taking a grant is not going to kill us.
Sure.
Let us work hard to be self-sustainable and develop our country. That's the attitude that we must have.
And now they're processing like 100 kilos of gold or something.
Exactly.
A month.
And stop this attitude of being a baby country to America. Some say, let America go.
Sure.
China and Russia will come.
But then it's just
America
replacing one babysitter with another.
Moved out of Zimbabwe. Where was Russia and China? They did nothing.
No.
They did nothing.
They also came, well, China came and they just took resources.
And again, if you are going to depend on Russia and China, you are a baby again.
There
when you have the resources that you can self-sustain your country and make sure that your people live a better life. So, big up to Trump. He's decisive. He's making the best decisions for his country and his money.
So what should we do?
We have to go.
Let us be self-sustainable. Okay. Let us make sure that our minerals work for ourselves.
Yes.
Let us develop ourselves economically. We have got the minerals. We have got the capacity. Let's make proper political decisions.
Kenny, thanks for that last answer. Okay, PH, you carry on.
We have to go. Kurban, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you again next week. Like, subscribe, comment, share. And yeah, man, let us know who next you would like for us to have a fair chat with. But 2026, we can. Yeah, we can in 2026.
Let's go.
Salute. And we will.
Yeah. And we will.
Kasiga, mean quote. I want to be in that photo shoot.
We're out of here. Shout out.
Uzo good let Levitin. I work for a high-ranking soccer official. And let's just say, match results aren't always as fair as they seem. If fans knew what really happens behind closed doors, South African football, I'm a paga paga, organ journey scheme, would never be the same again. Choo choo.
This character gets
obviously I'm a Kosi fan.
This character gets interesting by the week, but hey, I don't want to die. Eh? This is a very touchy subject.
Yeah,
hey,
look, but you know what it is, and this is, I don't know that
don't
side of soccer well enough.
I don't want you
but
to lose
every
your contract
time,
either.
Every time fans are unhappy with the result of their team, I understand people are passionate about soccer, the easy excuse
is pointing.
The ref is bored, right? But I also think it's unrealistic in a country where from the top down, in every industry, whether
corruption.
There's corruption.
Sure.
I also don't think, I think it's naive to say that football is completely above board. However, I mean, the same guy has been in charge literally for 20 years and changed Fakul. So I wouldn't be surprised if Vele for Indaba Etiski, you know what I'm saying? But that guy is playing a dangerous game, dude, because if you leak that type of information, you're dead, boss.
Hey,
that
boss.
one is like Zanzu territory. It's a leak. How? Oh, we're leaking.
Okay, Pablo. Okay, Pablo.
Hey.
Anywho.
Okay, no, Savan.
Wow. Listen, my 2 cents on that is that. I think sometimes people just want genuine games and honest games.
Yes,
know?
We all
not,
do.
Not this thing of like, we should have won, but that
but call, the ref was bought.
You know, that ref made a call that was sideways, or this team who's supposed to win this game now throws it away. We've seen it with, you know how hectic it was when with the Indian cricket players, when Abu Hansi... were bought.
Yeah, when we found out that they've been bought all along.
Yes.
Yeah, that was heavy too.
You know?
Hansi started crying.
He didn't F himself, but the
plane crashed. He died in a plane crash, yeah. God rest his soul.
Yeah, but...
I feel like it cancelled out the legend that was Hansi.
That's what I'm trying to say, is that, you know, if we ever were to find out for some match-fixing stuff, it would cancel out quite a lot of things.
Yes,
and it would expose quite a lot of things.
It would, yeah. And then the whole dream is shattered.
It's cheeky, but yeah.
But fortunately, this is all allegedly. Siyabonga wena WhatsApp leak.
Yeah, and Tina says Luto.
Yeah. Siyabonga Mbuzi. Yeah.
What's the thing for Sundowns?
Sundowns. Like this,
yes.
Yeah. We're not saying any of these teams. What the fuck are you saying?
No, I'm showing the teams. I'm showing them love. I'm like, Kaizer Chiefs, Orlando Pirates.
I work with these people.
Yeah, I know. No, I work with them too. I get booked to play at the stadium.
Exactly.
No. I'm showing love.
Oh.
No, I'm showing love.
So you're a Chiefs fan?
Since Salaiti. They're not the best performing team.
No, not right now.
But yeah.
I'm a Chiefs fan in denial. But anyway, that's us for the week. WhatsApp Leaks is back again next week. If you've got a WhatsApp leak, hit us up on the WhatsApp line. It's here on the screen because we still don't know the number. They don't give it to us in case we leak our dick pics. But yeah, we're back in business next week, Wednesday. You know the story. PH, Shady Luca, take it easy. If it's easy, take it home.
I'm coming back with another trophy next week.
Bring the trophies.
Hyrox.
We lost the Luris, we lost the bookmarks. Might as well win the Red Bull DJ competition. Cheers.
We're out. Away. Phela mina ngiyinsizwa mina. Ngiyinsizwa.